Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello! Welcome to Triforce episode 5, aka 5.
Oh, it is 5, you're right.
I am joined by Sips and Lewis. How are y'all?
Hey, what's up?
See, I can do intros. I don't know why everybody says I can't. That was amazing. I'm multilingual.
You nailed it.
You put some German language in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of education for the people who listen who don't speak.
You've taken it to a higher level now. You've set such a bar. The next person who has to do an intro is going to really struggle.
I have to do it in Japanese, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Konnichiwa.
Arigato for joining us in
Domo arigato.
Podcast. Yeah.
Man. That's like all my Japanese gone.
That was great.
Mushi mushi.
Mushi mushi. Pachinko.
Sushi.
Whales. Anyway. I don't know. Man, anyway. So how's it going, guys? What's up? Great. What's new?
Nothing. Honestly, it feels like no time since we did the last one.
You sound sick as hell.
I think I have a child snot.
Yeah, welcome, friend, to the world of being around sickly children all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I've been sick for like 4 years constantly. Like, it's just the way that it goes. You just always feel like shit health-wise.
I'll be okay. I've had a bit of a C this morning.
I do have a tiny favor to ask you guys, which is that Mrs. F made a delivery, is meant to be coming between 10 and 11 from it's a food shop. Now, I only found out about this on Skype this morning, and I said to her, that's a really, really bad time because I'll be doing the podcast with the guys, and she said, oh, I'm sorry. So
hey,
the doorbell will go, and I will have to run downstairs, and I will have to put food away. So I'll be about 5 to 6 minutes. I don't know if we want to pause
at that
point. We'll just edit it out. We'll, just pause and we'll edit it out.
We don't need to. We'll just keep it going. It's fine.
Okay.
You know,
I love
they don't just pause the Starship Enterprise in space when Data has to like go to his room and cry a bit or whatever because he's developing his emotions. No. the crew come together, teamwork,
Data
makes the dream work.
Fart on my face.
And the shit keeps going. So, Paflax, don't worry about it.
Okay.
You got to go downstairs and you got to like put away your groceries or whatever. Just take your fucking time because you know what? There's two guys here on the podcast that are just going to hold it down while you're doing that. And then when
God
you get back,
I thought of something you could do. What you could do is you guys could try and figure out what is on my shopping list.
Ah, man.
And see if you can get 10 of the items on my shopping list.
What a fun game.
Listen up, right? First of all, when you said my wife would like you guys to do a favor, I thought maybe she listens to the podcast. Maybe she wants
to
shout
out. The first thing I thought was like, holy shit, she's a fan of the podcast. I can't believe it. Like, my wife thinks that we're a bunch of fucking goons, but like your wife maybe thinks that we're cool dudes.
No.
Possibly.
Yeah, so that was what was running through our heads right there. And then the second thing, after you sort of started saying she wants something, right? I was like,
three's up.
So, I mean, I'm up for it, fully up for it. I sort of assumed that she was gonna. It was gonna be something to do with the podcast, though, you know. But no, it was literally you have to do the shopping.
Yeah.
She almost. It was completely. Ignoring
I'm sorry.
Man, it's funny though.
It's a very domestic
worlds
thing.
Just carry on without us.
Well,
so is she off somewhere working, bringing up the kids? Your wife?
She's at work.
Yeah. Oh man, she's got a real job.
She has. She actually left the house at 7:40 this morning. She won't get back till about the same kind of time this evening. Yesterday, she did not see the kids. what in an awake state at all. Like, she left when they were still asleep. She got back at about 11:30 at night.
Well, look, the least we can do is put the shopping away for her.
That's what I think.
Isn't it?
Do you know what? She doesn't watch anything.
She
doesn't watch anything that we do, by the way. Not
everyone here on the podcast is going to... It's a shame you can't take the mic downstairs and, like, you know, take us through this journey.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, there's going to be like one paper bag just filled with Anusol. I call it now. Like 25 boxes of hemorrhoid cream. I'm calling it now.
That's all it is.
So, yeah. Okay, let's go with this list. So, Sips, you've said Anusol.
Yeah.
I reckon there might well be some lady products in there.
Let me get a bit of paper.
Well, there'll be some Lady hygiene.
Well, I'm
sort
thinking
of
if it
products.
Wasn't, if it was urgent.
So you're saying
it was urgent.
Anusol, you're saying lady products.
Lady products.
Yeah.
You know, something like a towel.
What
or
else have we got?
Ladies towels. Called? Yeah.
Yeah. Those
hygiene towels.
Okay. Yeah.
Brackets those, hygiene.
I'm gonna say dinosaur chicken as well because you got kids and like that's pretty staple, I think. Some sort of fun shaped meal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also thinking frozen stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like frozen waffles, frozen peas.
Chips. Frozen chips. You're going to have a bag of frozen chips in there.
Because she was like, because you could imagine, right, that what would happen is if you told your husband to get the shopping at the door, okay, he would be like, oh. So he'd go down. He'd like have to get do the shopping really quick, and then he'd leave it there and go back to his game, right? Finish off his game, and then maybe come back and put it away later. But I think your wife has told you about this because there is frozen stuff in there.
Absolutely,
Sherlock Holmes.
Very clever. Yeah. Well done, Mr. Holmes.
I'm gonna guess either a refrigerated or a frozen pizza is gonna be in there as well. And,
okay. And
another one from me. I'm gonna guess that somewhere in there is going to be some cider.
Cider. Okay. Yeah. Good guess.
I think we're going to get that.
I have not. Like the shop is a mystery to me. She orders it online. It turns up. It's a bit like when you order those things where they send you a package of food every week and you don't know what's going to be in it. That's what the shop is to me. So I unpack it. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I didn't even know we ran out of that. You know, or oh my God, now we have so much of this. So because she's not here, but she has a vague idea of the things that we need. But I do pretty much all the cooking and food and stuff because I'm in the house, yet she does the shop. So this list could be true. I do not know. Like, I can't even give you a hint because I don't know what's going to be on it. So you've got four more things.
Oh my God. Sips has just disconnected from our chat server. So it's just going to have to be me telling you these four things.
Okay.
This whole podcast is going to be kind of just two of us, like occasionally, because Sips is now gone. I guess you're going to leave imminently.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be me on my own here trying to like, this is not what I signed up for.
Good God.
I think
he's back.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Right? All right. We'll put that on there. Yeah.
Or some sort of conserve. I don't know. Do you have Nutella?
Peanut butter/Nutella. Yeah.
Something like that. And also... I think that's more likely than jam, marmalade, or honey in your household. I'm just thinking that. Maybe that's wrong. I think some ice cream. I'm thinking like lollies rather than tubs because it's coming up to summer. You got kids.
Yeah.
Lollies.
Lollies.
I mean, these are the things that I would put on the list. I think also squash of some description.
Squash.
I'm going to go with Ribena, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of the thing you'd have. I mean, personally,
what, like in a carton or in a bottle,
I think he's saying like one of the big bottles, so you can dilute it.
I don't mean like the little cartons. Right. I mean a big bottle of liquid concentrated Ribena.
Okay, yeah.
I think only really posh people get like the pre-mixed carton stuff because it's like kind of expensive.
It's expensive, yeah. And also, like my kids are not allowed to take that to school anyway. You have to take water.
I'm also going to go with the cereal that I think your house has is those packs of seven or I think it's actually eight little boxes.
Right.
And, it's got one cornflakes in there, one, it's a variety.
Right.
One Cocoa Pops, one Rice Krispies, one Ricicles, one Bran Flakes.
Yeah.
No one eats.
That one's
always left
flakes.
Over.
There's always a box of Frosted Flakes.
Frosties.
Right. Okay, so there's the 10.
The other ones.
I'll just give a rundown recap. for the viewers, the listeners at home, dinosaur chicken, frozen chips, pizza, cider, peanut butter slash Nutella, ice cream, brackets, lollies, squash, brackets, Ribena, and a cereal variety pack.
I missed some of those. My I disconnected from Discord.
I know.
For a sec.
We didn't notice. Carry on.
Okay, cool.
It's all right. So did you have any other emergency bonus items that you think were on there? It was a wild card, Sips.
Oh, wild card. Let me get the pen.
Wild card. I'm going to say that somewhere in there, there's going to be a variety pack of chips, like potato chips.
Like crisps.
The little grab bags of like, you know, Walkers or whatever.
Bonus item as a risk is going to be Marmite.
Oof.
What about digestives? You should have said like a pack of digestives.
Just because of your response there.
Or
I know
tea bags.
That's not a gamble.
You should have said tea bags.
Tea bags isn't a gamble. It's got to be something
strange. What I should have told you.
Some nabob coffee.
No way. Here's what I didn't tell you guys, which I could have done, but I didn't want to give you too many hints. My mum, Big Mama Flex, is coming up to stay.
Oh no!
For 12 days.
So there's going to be a pre-made trifle in there somewhere.
It's all based around what an old lady might like to have for the next 12 days staying in our house.
Fuck.
So there's food stuff.
Cabbage.
Sort of.
There's going to be a cabbage in there somewhere too. Boiling cabbage.
No.
That's old people love to do that.
Potted herring.
Yeah.
Corned beef.
The weird thing about kids are quite fussy, but the weird thing is I think you have a bell curve of fussiness, and at the low and high end that like is the age group. So my kids are pretty fussy because they're still kids. They're getting less fussy as time goes on. Like they'll try pretty much anything now. Some of it they like, some of it they don't. And then my mum is exceptionally fussy from maybe about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago until now. It's like progressively fussier and fussier. So and the weird thing is, because she's an old lady, their appetites are like tiny. So mentally, she still thinks she's a normal person, not an oldie. So she still asks for these big portions of food. And then she has like 3 bites of it. And she's like, oh, that was filling. And I'm looking at her like, you know, my 7-year-old is like eating 10 times the amount that you are. So
is she a dessert sharer as well? Like, do you get that? Do you get like, is there an old person in your family who orders a dessert when you go to a restaurant?
They're she's like, always about the dessert. Yeah.
Can I split this with somebody? I couldn't possibly eat the whole thing by myself.
She will do that. But the weird thing is she'll eat hardly any of her dinner, and then she'll still have dessert. It drives me and my wife crazy.
I know. It's because the older you get, the more you become like a kid again, right? And then when you're super elderly, you're like a little baby again. You like shit yourself freely. Somebody has to look after you and feed you and stuff like that. And you know, just eating your dessert,
put with all your other old friends. You know,
exactly. Just eating dessert is like the start of that. Because when you're a kid, all you want to do is fucking eat dessert, right? Like my son, we put like pasta in front of him. We put like nice, you know, mashed potatoes and like greens and stuff. And like all this really good stuff. And like he won't touch it. It doesn't matter what you say to him or whatever. He's just like not interested at all. But then if you put like a cake in front of him, it's gone in like 2.5 seconds. He just wants to eat chocolate all the time. He wants to have like a candy necklace and like a candy ring and stuff. And like, you know, fair enough. I mean, I wish I could still do that. I would just be crippled with like heartburn and, you know, diabetes and whatever.
I think this is what happens, you know, like I stopped eating, you know, as you get older, you feel this creeping in, right? Like I stopped eating Haribo because it made my teeth ache, you know, because of the amount of sugar and stuff like that. Like at a certain point, you just, I think as you get older, you start feeling this creeping disgust for the creeping criticism that old people tend to have where they seem to kind of criticize something that's fairly unreasonable, you know. And so it's like, you know, you got a plate of peas there and your nan says, oh, I don't do peas. It's like, what do you mean? The peas make me belly tickle. It's like, well,
I get a big rash on my pussy.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
Well, you should be feeding them to the cat then, you stupid woman.
You stupid man. Jeez, wow. That's your problem. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like it's a pretty weird one. But getting kids to eat stuff in general, I think the older you get, your taste buds change too, right? Like I used to be really fussy when I was younger. I'd only eat certain things, but now I eat anything because. Yeah. Now, when I'm hungry, I'm just fucking hungry. Like, I haven't eaten for a while sort of thing. Because if you're busy or whatever, you lose track or you go out or something and you just, like, don't get a chance to eat. When it comes to it, when food is presented to me and it's prepared already, I'll just fucking eat anything. Like, it doesn't matter what's on the plate. Like, if somebody baked their shit on a plate, I would eat it because I'm so hungry. Like, I'm ready to go sort of thing.
Well,
I'm not saying I would enjoy it, but I would still eat it.
That's good. That's manners, quite honestly.
I know. Yeah. And then
you'd save room for dessert, I think.
Well, not only that, I would leave a little tiny bit at the end. I wouldn't completely clear my plate because apparently that's good manners too.
Leaving a bit?
Cultures. Yeah, leaving a little tiny bit is like good manners, apparently.
I know, in China, it's very good manners.
You finish your plate in China and Japan, and places like this, they'll bring you a new one because they'll assume that you haven't been satisfied by it. And also, it's sort of good manners to belch and stuff and be like, oh, and rub your belly.
Best mannered person you'll ever meet in that case.
I'm not sure farting is the same, but it's close.
I feel like it should. I don't know why there's so much discrimination against farting. I mean, it's essentially the same thing. Yeah, but so does burping.
But the difference is you're farting particles of shit into the air that someone's had to inhale.
Yeah.
That's rude, man. I don't want to breathe your poop.
I know, but it's pretty satisfying, right? When you smell one of your own, you're like,
I hate it. What's satisfying about the smell of poop?
I don't know. Like, if it's your own, sometimes I find it comforting. Like, ugh. You know, if I'm just sitting in my garage farting, like, this is nice. You know,
you're an animal.
I can do this all day.
I think the farting increases along with a healthy diet, though. Sometimes you see this, like, skinny yoga girl, and you know that she will be the worst, most stinkiest farting
girl
ever.
Like just the eggiest farts you've ever smelled in your life.
And it's like, how can such a small creature generate such incredibly disgusting farts?
Yeah. You know, it's a weird thing, right? Like
you see all these thin, beautiful Disney princesses, right? And you know, really hot girls on Reddit Gone Wild or whatever. I don't know where you see them. Gentleman Boners, maybe.
Which forums are you browsing?
Just think. Yeah. The thinner and more healthy they look, the worse their farts smell.
You know what my grandma told me one time?
It's diet. Healthy diet. What?
It's kind of related to this. I was talking about, I think I was talking about Wayne Gretzky one time, who's a famous
hockey player. To your
grandma? Yeah, to my grandma. I was young, and I was into hockey at the time. So I'm like, you know, Wayne Gretzky this, that, the other. I think I read an article about it or whatever. And she was like, Wayne Gretzky is a great hockey player.
It snowed all day. Right. And you have gone out, your mum has said, hey, can you take this big pack of peas over to your grandma? God, she needs them. And so you've gone, oh, gran, I want to play Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Mum, sorry. And she's like, all right, fine. After a game of Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So you do a favor for your mum, you go out to your gran. He's trudged through the snow, the Canadian summer, still snowing, it's freezing. You trudge all the way through. There's like milk frozen to people's like doorsteps. I'm just trying to set the scene, okay?
All right.
You get to her house, right? She lives in like a log cabin, okay? There's smoke coming out. Fir trees all around it covered in snow. Yeah.
Okay.
It's made of gingerbread.
All right.
The door opens.
She's got that comical old granny voice too that Lewis is about to do.
she's there on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Chris.
That's right.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you. Thanks for visiting your old gran.
Hi, Grandma.
It's been so lonely.
God, I haven't been out in the woods for a while to your log cabin made of gingerbread. Man, this place never changes.
Please come in and warm yourself by the oven.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She says.
Yeah, and then so I say, Grandma, I trudged all the way out here with my snowshoes and my pet polar bear to tell you that, man, I really like Wayne Gretzky. Like, I just think that this guy is a great hockey player. He's really good. You know, he's done some great things. I was reading about him and stuff. And my grandma turns around to me in her gingerbread log cabin with the comical voice that Lewis just did. And she says, you know what? That's great. It's really great to admire somebody and look up to them. But you know what? Now imagine them sitting on the can taking a shit. And I was like, what? And then I imagine Wayne Gretzky sitting there, pants around his ankles, you know, reading the paper or like farting around on his iPad or whatever, taking a shit. And I thought, I get it. You know what? They're just people. All these people that you look up to, they do all the same shit that you and me do in their spare time, right? Like take a shit. Sometimes they make like really smelly farts. Sometimes they throw up involuntarily on the bus. You know, other times they trip.
I think she got that the wrong way around, though.
And fall into a snowbank or whatever. And I thought, this is good advice, actually. And now I don't look up to anyone anymore. Anytime I see someone in the news or whatever, I'm like, that guy shits all the time. And I'm picturing
you're
him
not
right
supposed
now.
To think about your role models like that. I think you're supposed to think of people who are kind of not as good. You know, isn't that what you're supposed to do if you like don't like someone? You think, oh well, let's just imagine them, you know, taking a shit.
Yeah.
Just having a really bad time as well. They've eaten something that's just not coming out, or it's really
I don't know
spicy.
Though. It has the reverse effect. Somebody that you really dislike, there, like, or somebody who's really evil, you just imagine them,
reaching,
you know, like
for the anus hole.
They're not being particularly evil in that context, right? They're sitting there struggling to like wipe their ass like for the 50th time because they've taken a particularly bad shit. And you're like, you feel kind of sorry for them, right? Because you're like, oh, poor guy, you know. Sure, he's like trying to enslave the human race or whatever, but right now he's just struggling like any other guy, taking a bad shit and just, you know, trying to get out of that bathroom as soon as possible to go back and play WoW or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a dose
for
of humanity. Yeah.
He's dry. You know, he hasn't got his shopping order of his new wet wipes or whatever just to give him that kind of refreshing.
Yeah,
cleanness down there. And
they ran out of Anusol, and his online order, they gave him a replacement, which didn't do the trick. And, you know, you just think, oh, poor guy.
And he has to record a podcast in 5 minutes.
That's right.
But the delivery's coming in like 2 hours, so he's going to
have to
tell them.
He's hoping that his two co-hosts will cover for him as well while he's off.
This is getting very specific.
Oh, shit. So, damn, that's a strange thing. So I guess, like, I don't know, I don't know why your grad just sort of told you that out of thin air.
I mean, she's
like
really old school.
Do you
like,
think old
she's
people
pretty
sometimes
racist. She was
do stuff,
pretty.
Do stuff spitefully when they see someone having a lot of fun. Do you think sometimes they see young people having a lot of fun or enjoying something, you know, and they say, you like Wayne Gretzky? Well, just imagine him taking a big shit.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you
think
of him now?
I don't know if it was like a family thing or like a generational thing, but I got the feeling that, you know, their idea of kids, like my grandma was really nice. She was really, really great. She was like, she would always like get me cool stuff like on my birthday and for Christmas and stuff. Anytime she'd visit, I'd be like super excited and stuff. I got on really well with her. I used to like spend my like Canada Day. There were like fireworks and stuff. I'd go sleep at her house and watch fireworks and stuff. It was really good. But she came from a generation where I think that kids were like, you know, seen and not heard sort of thing. And I think it was like one of those things where it was considered kind of funny to like troll kids, like if that's possible back then sort of thing. Because like, I don't know, I think like I just get the feeling that she was always sort of like trolling me a bit, like, you know, with like the taking a shit thing or whatever, but like not in like a super mean way. Like I think she just found it a little bit funny or whatever.
I think it's maybe because
she was like ahead of her time in that sense.
But well, if you think about the way kids used to be raised, like if you've been a child at any other time in history other than pretty much now, it would be a pretty god-awful thing. Like being a kid used to be awful because they used to think the kids were born with like original sin. And they were basically needed to be saved, and they were bad, and they should be seen and not heard. And, you know, things like the Victorian times had like the workhouse, or, you know, that's it. If you're a poor kid and you're orphan, that's it. You belong to the state now, and they're just going to work you like a dog. And it's like, it's awful. And of course, you know, diseases and lack of education and opportunities and stuff like that. So I think a lot of older generations remember how grim and hard it was when they were kids. And I think there's a natural human sort of feeling in some people to feel that I didn't have this, so no one should have it. Like a
this
very
generation's
selfish
got it way too easy, so now
but
I have to like
always been saying
shatter
that
his dreams by making him imagine Wayne Gretzky taking a crap.
Yeah, it's just I think it's kind of that. I think it's a selfish thing, and maybe when people get older, they get maybe a little bitter Because if yeah. we can't imagine what it's like to be 80. I mean, no. You know, we can potentially try and imagine what it's like, but it's going to be weird. You're 80, you're nearing the end of your life, and you see all this stuff going on. It all seems so frivolous to you. Why aren't people panicking about the fact that I could drop dead at any minute? Why aren't people just following me around saying, holy shit, this could be this person's last minutes on Earth when they take a particularly difficult poop? You know, so
I broke my hip.
Yeah, exactly. Really they just strain one. Too much, you know, something in their brain pops, that's it. Like, it's tough.
Maybe.
So there's not the level that you're coming over. You're not saying, Grandma, how are you? How are your bowels? Here are some frozen peas. I hope it'll put everything right. I hope you're okay. Your first word out of your mouth is, man, Wayne Gretzky's fucking awesome, Grandma.
Yeah,
did you see?
And the whole time she's like, you fuck you and your fucking Wayne Gretzky, you entitled little shit. Yeah. Like, that's what she's thinking. And
I'm dying.
Yeah, but then, of course, on the other hand, she's like, I'm getting old. So, like, maybe, yeah, I can see where all these bitter emotions would come from. But I never took it as that she was bitter. I think she was just like joking around and having fun, yeah, sort of, yeah, like at my expense or whatever.
And
it was pretty funny. I was old
that,
enough to realize that. I wasn't like super young.
I don't
at the
think
time.
That as
oh,
you get old,
door.
You automatically
luck,
turn okay. into some sort of monster. Oh my God. Well, he's off. Right.
He's
but
gone.
But I think, you know, generally people who are good in life will be good when they get old. I think, man, death is like something we should probably talk about on this podcast.
Oh my God, do we have to? No, I don't think we should. You know what I think we should talk about instead?
Birth.
I don't even know. But yeah, maybe. But like, no, I don't want to talk about death at all.
Okay, we'll just be quiet for like,
you know what? You've twisted my arm as far back as it'll go. Let's talk about death. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on getting old and dying? See, for me, from my point of view, I think that like when you're young, dying or the thought of death is like, holy shit, like I do not want to die. You know, like I still have a lot of things I want to do. I still have a lot of things I want to experience.
Well, no. That's not quite how it works.
I want to have sex with somebody in outer space and stuff.
First of all, when you're young, you have no conception of death and you feel that you can't die. Okay. And then as you get older, you tend to be reckless with your mortality in a sense. People dive off stuff and motorbike around. You know, they feel invulnerable. Certainly, yeah, for a while. And then what that follows up on is sort of this period of time when you have stuff to live for. Like, you know, you're like, oh God, I hope I don't die because I've got to bring up these kids. I've got important things to do.
Yeah.
And then I think there's this level of acceptance that comes with, you know, I've done everything. I'm tired. I think there's that's that classic trio of energy, which I love. Like, it's like an XKCD thing where, when you're young, you have loads of energy and loads of time, but no money. When you're, you know, middle-aged and you have a job, you have plenty of money and plenty of energy, but no time because you're working, bringing up kids, doing all the stuff.
Yeah.
When you're old, you have all the time in the world, all the money in the world, but no energy. So there's always something missing at all stages of life, if you like, in a sense. You don't see... I think we as you get older, you get a picture of what it's like to be old. And I think being old is tough. You know, it's achy. Your sort of your bones and things are not as good as they were. Your reactions are not as good. Your senses are not as good. Yeah. Everything is kind of a bit of a sad thing to happen. And I think that is a natural thing to die. But I think that if you're going to die early, I have a really sort of, I can't remember whose quote this was, but and I'm probably paraphrasing it as well, but death is a little bit, I consider to be death a little bit like being asked to leave a party that's still going on before it's finished, you know. So it's like the party's going to happen, the party's happening right now, you're at the party's going to carry on without you, but you're going to have to leave, sorry. You know, and it's a little bit tricky, it's a little bit like, oh, okay, you don't want to leave, no one wants to leave because the party's going on, everyone wants to stay at the party, but it's, you can, I like to think of it like a kind of, you know, if you're, most people are like, oh, okay, maybe it is time to leave. Maybe I've been at this party long enough. I think a lot of people are very accepting of death, and it's
when you're older. I think, yeah, especially if you're riddled with like health problems and stuff, you probably, I would imagine that, and like me thinking about this in my own terms, I would probably be pretty fed up, and I think I, you know, if you're not able to enjoy life and you're you're not enjoying life and you're quite elderly and you're plagued with like health problems or whatever, maybe you do get to the point where you're like, yeah, it's time for me to go. You know, like this will never get better. You know, I'm never going to be able to do the things that I used to do, that I used to have fun doing or whatever. And like, it's a sad thing to think about, right? Like that somebody could be ready to die. But I think that like your brain maybe sort of convinces you that that's the case sort of thing. Cause like, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but like older people, when they get to the point where, you know, like it seems that like older people could 1 minute be living by themselves, totally self-sufficient, be quite happy, just doing the stuff that they've done all the time. And then they get a little bit sick and maybe hospitalized because of that, because they're very fragile. And then they almost just give up and die. Pretty much. You know what I mean? Like it's, I think you'll find that that happens like time and time again. It's like that sort of thing where it's like, I'm never going to be able to go back to my place. You know, people are telling me that I have to be looked after now and stuff. And like, man, you just sort of accept that you're just like, oh, well, fuck, well, my life is over now.
I don't know. I don't think it's always like that. I think that's a very kind of conceptual thing. I mean, dying is a part of life. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, probably live by some sort of, well, a lot of people, it's very much tied up with religion because it's a very difficult concept to deal with dying. People like to imagine that it's not the end because that makes it easier. You know, but then again, I think that people who aren't religious, which is increasing the proportion of the planet, really feel that dying, but no afterlife doesn't mean that there's nothing to live for. Quite the opposite. You know, you've only got one life, it's everything to live for. You know, you should make the most of the life that you have rather than thinking, oh well, I fucked this one up, I'll see you in the afterlife, I'll do it again. You know, it's like, yeah, well, that's not the way to live. I think that there is this stigma around talking about dying and stuff like that, and you know, especially in America when it's so kind of, you should fight every single second of your life for every single, you know, you should live for the next 5 years as a worm rather than, you know, go out in a blaze of glory kind of thing.
I'm all about the blaze of glory. Big time. Yeah.
Sorry. So, wow, PFLAX, let's move on to your shopping list. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Right, we need it. Let's go down. Because we went down a dark alleyway.
I know, it
hurt. We went really dark. You should never leave again, PFLAX, this is what happens.
Let's take this turn with number
Data
one.
Data returns from his chamber crying, and he finds Picard and Riker having a conversation about dying on the bridge.
God.
And everybody else is like really depressed. Worf is like face in his hands. You got like Sulu, who's not even like part of this timeline, just like fucking crying in a corner in the fetal position and stuff. Never leave the bridge again, Data, is basically what I'm saying.
We need you.
We need you so bad.
And he just walks back in and goes, Captain, your anusol is here.
Captain, it seems that 25 boxes of anusol have arrived.
Hush, Data, transported in from
and it
Star
was delivered
45.
By Timmy two times. So actually now we have 50 boxes of anusol.
I love the references. Anusol was not on the list. That's one X.
Damn.
Oh. There are no lady products on the list. That gets an X. She must have some from a previous
Damn.
Week. Right.
Is your wife like a robot or something? She doesn't need any of that shit?
She didn't need it today.
Fuck. Bonus.
What is this? Freezer? Oh shit, I didn't put
More
the freezer
stuff.
I didn't put the freezer stuff away. I didn't see the freezer.
That
back.
Was the one thing you were supposed to do.
Leave the bridge. No. Oh God. Okay,
oh, wow.
Anyway.
So by
Picard,
extension,
anyway, when
we
you
have
die,
saved Period Flax's freezer stuff. Because
he wouldn't have put it away, yeah.
If he'd just come back to join the podcast, we would have done the rest of this hour long podcast.
Man,
and
would have been like, imagine like his wife got home and there was just a bag of like rubbery defrosted oven chips like sitting on the counter. How depressing would that be?
And just a melted ice tub of Ben and Jerry's.
Man, it's just like slowly leaking all over the counter. Like,
yeah.
I thought
he wouldn't have put it on the counter. It's on the floor, in the hall, on the carpet.
Oh, that's true. You know, that's
and the dog's
worse,
like licking up the chocolate, like
get up
off
out
the floor.
The carpet and stuff. See, that's the kind of shit I'm talking about, though. You make like a big boob like that, and you get to the end of the day, and you're like, "Fuck, what have I done?" Like, maybe I'm just ready to go now. Maybe like I'm ready for the Grim Reaper to come and take me away. Fuck, like, you left the Ben and Jerry's out.
You have suicidal thoughts.
Fresh pasta that's meant to be refrigerated. It's gone all hot and stuff, and like
lettuce is all wilted, and
it's all wilted away, and we'll never be able to make like a Caesar salad now. Yeah, and like. You know, how do I recover from this? Maybe I can't. And that's it. You're done. You're ready to go.
Gosh.
Your brain convinces you that now's the time. You've done everything. You've done the best you can, but you fucked up big time at the end there with Ben and Jerry.
Okay.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back.
Oh, dinosaur chicken. That's an X. That's an X.
There was no dinosaur chicken?
Frozen chips. Oh, shit. Tick.
Woo!
Big old bag. Now, what kind of chips do you think they were?
I'm going to say McCain chips. Crinkle cut.
They were crinkle cut chips. That gets an extra
motherfucker. Ooh. You know how I know this? Because kids love crinkle cut for some reason.
They do.
What the fuck? I don't get it.
Pizza, that's a tick. There was a pizza.
Ah, man.
Cider, household that's a big old tick right there.
Yeah.
Big old tick. Peanut butter / Nutella, not on the list.
Holy shit.
And I'll tell you
why. I can't
why.
Believe it.
Because
lots of nut allergies, right?
No nut allergies, nothing like that. Mrs. F just got, you can get in Selfridges, which she works right near, personalized jars of Nutella. So it has your name on it, or whatever name you want on it. So she got one of those each for the kids. So we didn't need that. So that gets an X.
They each have their own Selfridges jar of Nutella.
Yeah, I know.
You just said,
man,
one
there
of the
has
most
to be
posh
a, there has to be
I
like
have ever heard in my life.
It doesn't cost
There's,
any more.
There's got to be a Reddit picture of this where it's like one jar says Katie, one says Billy, one says Fiona, and then one says asshole.
Now, you said ice cream, but Lewis specified lollies. It was two tubs of Cornish clotted cream ice cream. So I'm going to give you half a point.
Listen, if I'd known the Nan was coming,
I was thinking maybe Ben and Jerry's fish fiesta, you know, with like the chocolate fish
food.
And stuff.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So good.
Right. Oh, man, it's really good.
Fish fiesta. It's like a fish party.
Yeah, but all the fish are made of chocolate, though. That's the catch.
The best kind of party.
Yeah, the best
man,
kind of
man, they're like
fiesta.
Walking down the street and people just grabbing them and stuffing them in their face.
That's right. Oh,
there was no squash.
Oh,
of any
damn
kind.
It, no, she never buys me squash. I have to get it.
So how many, of the things that Lewis has thought were going to be on the list, how many ticks has he gotten?
None.
I'm saying none.
We're still going, guys. So let's wait. Cereal variety pack, not on the list. There was a. There was no cereal ordered, actually, because we got a shitload already. I didn't want to give anything away.
Oh.
All right. But yeah, there was no cereal.
What kind of cereal do you have in your house?
Let me guess. There's a big old box of Weetabix in there.
There is a big old, like the biggest box you get. It's just like racks of Weetabix in this kind of military wrapper. It's very, very sort of basic. And my youngest loves that with a little bit of honey drizzled on top. She's all about that.
Ooh.
Also, mini Weetabix that have chocolate chips in. That is my jam. I love those. Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes. We've got porridge, Ready Breck. And
you got to have porridge and Ready Breck.
You got to. Like, and then Alpha Bites, which is like these little things. Yeah. They're quite healthy anyway. So
we got those too.
Yeah, they're good. So crisps, incredibly, no crisps were ordered. I'm going to have a word with Mrs. F.
I thought that was a pretty safe one, actually.
Me too, dude.
It's
I'm
one of those things where you don't always get them, because sometimes it's like, if they're in the cupboard, you're just going to eat them, so we're not going to get them sort of thing. It's like hit and miss sometimes. And then other times it's like, we're feeling fresh and loose. Let's just buy 20 bags of variety crisps. Yeah, great.
And finally, Lewis's wild card, Marmite, not in this house, sir. Not in this house.
Yeah.
So in grand total, you guys scored 4 points.
I think those 4 points are all me as well. Pretty sure the things I recommended.
Lewis did get half a point for ice cream, and you got a bonus half point for getting the crinkle cut. So that's three. That's a total of four. So pretty poor, guys.
Pretty bad.
I mean, little did I know you were such Nutella fans that you invested in highest, poshest,
customized Nutella
jars.
I don't think it costs more. Like, genuinely, Mrs. F is not the kind of person to go and drop money. Tiffany!
Fetch your own jar of Nutella from the cupboard.
Portia, put that Nutella down.
Portia, stop eating your Nutella straight out of the jar.
Portia, does that jar of Nutella
one
say Portia?
One does not eat Nutella with one's finger, Portia.
One uses a servant's finger.
Fuck, yeah.
Lick it off Jesus' finger.
P-Flax, your cupboards sound a lot like my cupboards and your fridge. I mean, you sound like you've got pretty much all the same shit I got.
Yeah. It's an plus age thing, I think.
We got some like ultra healthy peanut butter. Like, it's like organic peanut butter. And man, it gets like all the oil kind of like seeps to the top.
So
when you open it up, it's like really oily. You got to mix it all up. I kind of like it though, because when you're mixing it all up, you can smell the peanut butter and it just gets you ready for like peanut butter toast.
Oh, I feel you, really, buddy. Good. Peanut butter toast is something that people in the UK don't really eat a lot. But I loved it. Like, I
find it the ultimate dad thing. Like,
it is.
If I go in the kitchen, I'm like, man, I'm hungry. Peanut butter toast every time. Like, I'll do it. 3 or 4 slices of that shit. I'm like,
Oh my God.
I go big when I go peanut butter toast. Wow. Like, I love it. Yeah. It's really good. And quick, too, right? Like, it requires basically no effort.
It's
especially if you have a toaster
meal
that can do 4 things at once, you're like, yeah, no problem.
Boom. Fuck. Dinner is served.
I had my toaster set the other day. Okay. This is crazy. So we have the 4-pop toaster.
Okay.
And I had the dials set to like 3 because I like a crispy toast.
Oh
right?
My God. Yeah. Okay. I'm already on edge when you're talking about toasters and dials, but carry on.
So I had the dials set to 3, but I didn't realize.
That's how you like them.
How high up is 3? Cause is this like a 1 to 10 scale or a 1 to 5 or what?
It's a 1 to 5. So it's like on the crispy side. Okay.
Okay.
So I had them set to 3 and you constantly have to reset them. Cause my wife sets them to like 1. So it's like barely toasted or whatever. Ugh. And that's just her thing. But I like my shit toasted. So I pop the toast down. Okay. And I wait a couple of minutes because it, you know, at 3, it takes like a couple minutes or whatever. So I was like off doing something else. I think I was like just like washing some dishes quick or whatever. And then the toast popped, but both popped at the exact same time. And I heard a beep at the exact same time. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, what's that beep sound? I don't know.
So I get the toast out. Just people who don't understand this. So Sips's toaster has 2 different push down bits.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. The 2 push down bits. And this time specifically, they both popped at like the exact same time.
Exact same millisecond.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, unusual.
Very unusual. So this happens and I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, I eat my toast and do a couple of things. I come back into the kitchen maybe like half an hour later and like open up the fridge and there's no light. I was like, what the fuck? Like, has the fucking fridge light gone? Like, I can't believe it. And then like I tried to put on the kettle, fucking didn't work or whatever. I was like, what the shit? Like, half of the kitchen is without power. And it was the fucking toaster, the double pop at the same time, tripped the fucking switch for like that side of the kitchen. It was crazy. I couldn't believe. And the beeping sound was the fucking bottle maker for the baby powering down. It's like it had never been powered down before or whatever. I was like, beep. And like, and that affected it as well. And I was like, fucking pushing it. It was like, I need to make a bottle. The baby's crying. It's like, I had to switch things on and off again. And then I had to go fucking upstairs to the switch box and like switch on half the kitchen again because of the toaster. Fucking crazy.
Okay. Well, let me just stop you for a second. What you've done here is a very classic thing that humans and animals do, which is assign a cause to something which is probably not the cause, but you assumed it was. You assumed that the fact that you lined up your 2 dials on your toaster to precisely 3, and so they popped at the same time, and that immense popping of double toast, which is so unexpected and unpredictable, right?
It causes
any
a surge.
Kind of kitchen setting,
thinking that wasn't the thing. It was.
Let me tell you what the alternative
was.
Is. Okay, the alternative is that the kitchen lost power and it automatically powered off the toaster, which instantly double popped both sides at once.
Yeah.
What's the more likely thing?
Well, I don't see how half the kitchen would just lose power for no reason.
Let me ask you a question, though, Sips. All right, and I've recently had our kitchen redone. And we've got...
Were you sticking a fork in the dishwasher at the time or something like that?
Yeah.
What? Like into the utensil tray? That's not going to trip the
what
power,
What else were you doing
friend.
At the time?
That's the thing.
Nothing. I wasn't doing anything.
But that's
what
the thing.
About
on
the
one,
kids
on
in
one
the house?
Side, on one side of our kitchen, we have dishwasher, washing machine, tumble dryer, electric kettle, George Foreman grill, which is nice. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then the lights and stuff. If I'm running the dishwasher, the washing machine, and the tumble dryer all at the same time, it's 50-50 that the fuse is going to trip because they've got like these ultra-sensitive fuses in so that if the kids, God forbid, shove something in the friggin' outlet, it's going to drop. You know, the power's going to cut before they do, basically. So,
yeah,
like, they're very sensitive. So if I
but
turn
240
the kettle
volts,
on,
like...
it's going to have a problem. So you're saying on that side of the kitchen, you've got fridge, baby bottle thing, toaster.
Yeah.
What else is running over there, Sips? I don't feel you're giving us the whole story.
There's like the fridge, freezer, the kettle, the toaster. The kettle wasn't on at the time. The toaster, the baby bottle thing, and that's it. That was all that
this
was plugged
like
in on that side.
But I'm
CSI
saying that if the
kitchen,
if the fridge motor kicks in at the exact instant your toaster's going and the baby bottle thing's going, it might
just the baby bottle thing was on, but it wasn't running.
Circuit break.
Did you have washing machine or dishwasher?
Oh, yeah. Washing machine is probably on that switch, but it wasn't on at the time. Yeah. Dishwasher, maybe. It's really weird, like, because the oven has a clock on it, but the oven isn't on that switch because the clock was still intact, you know? Like, that's usually the first sign that, like, you've lost power, right? You see the stupid fucking digital clock on your oven blinking.
That's right.
Yeah. Tripped or whatever, but that it wasn't affected. So it had to have been the toaster, okay? I don't care what you guys say. I'm going to stick with the double pop of the toaster.
All right, then
and
do me
so
a favor.
Rare.
Do me a favor. Repeatable experiment, all right?
Okay, well, I'll try, but it's impossible to get that double pop. Like, especially when you want it, it's never going to happen.
But it's such a rare thing. But Sips, when the toast pops, there's less power going to the toaster. It stops.
I know, but maybe it's like that constant, like, 1 minute it's using a lot of power and then the next minute it's using none sort of
but
thing.
But that's not
and
how
maybe,
fuses work.
Well, I don't fucking know. I'm not an electrician. All I'm saying is that that's the only thing that happened. So it had to be the cause. Unless, maybe somebody threw a fucking EMP into my house without me realizing it.
EMP
and then
grenade.
That caused half of my kitchen to lose power or something.
I think Lewis's explanation makes more sense. Something, Let's say that the fridge motor kicks in as the toaster's going. It's been going for a little while. You know, there's a bit of current building up. Also, toasters and kettles are all about surges of power because you've got to heat an element very quickly. So it could easily be
that. This happened last week, okay? You guys ganged up on me, okay, last week.
It's not ganging up. There's only two of us.
Yeah, no. And you guys were convinced that you're right about GIF and GIF. And somebody made a really valid point. How do you pronounce giraffe?
How do you pronounce
it's
graphics?
It's a G and an I.
How
it's
do you pronounce
G
graphics?
And an I. I pronounce it graphics because there's a G and an R, so the G is a hard G. But when a G is next to an I, it's a soft G, right? So you
what
wouldn't
about the
pronounce
word
it
give?
Giraffe.
The word give.
I would say jiv. Fuck the English language. Seriously, it's terrible. What the fuck? Man. All right.
Oh,
1-0 P Flax, but I will get you.
Okay.
At some point I will get you.
One
God
day.
One day.
This isn't the end of this.
It's a valid point though, you know, with the pronunciations and stuff. GIF. Who says GIF? That
Me.
Just sounds dumb. GIF sounds way better.
66% of the people in this conversation say GIF.
I know, but like you can't count Lewis's opinion on anything. He's so jaded.
I am. I'm a broken man.
He's a broken, jaded man. And he's at that point in his life where he's pretty accepting that he's done.
Yeah.
And like if the Grim Reaper showed up today and was like, Lewis, you're done. He'd be like, yeah, take it. I'm done. I'm done with all
he'd
this.
He'd say, Grim Reaper, huh? I bet you take a shit just like everybody else.
I call bullshit on that.
What makes you so special?
See, the problem with Grim Reapers, I read this thing on Reddit about the Grim Reaper, and I mean, this guy is not what he says he is at all, and here's a million reasons why. And then somehow talking about financials and the pools and stuff in there as well.
Mm. That's pretty much me in a nutshell. You've got me there, Sips.
I got you bad.
You got
nice.
Me.
I got you.
You got me dead.
That's right.
So one nothing. We've done me. 50 minutes of bum chat. We're supposed to talk about games in this podcast.
Yeah. At some point we were meant to. Yeah.
All right. Video
what
games.
What have you guys been doing this week, or playing games, or doing in your lives this week?
Rust.
Go.
Rust.
More Rust.
I've been playing Rust for fucking. Like a week and a half, and last night was the culmination, and we've stopped now until the next wipe. Me personally, I've stopped until the next wipe. That's it.
When's the next wipe?
A week's time.
So, well, isn't it every week?
Yeah. So it's well, it depends on the server. So it's every 2 weeks. So we got to a point last night, and it was an all in. Okay, and we'd had Sips came and visited our little orc's nest.
I was impressed. It was really good.
Well, and every time I log in, the guys who are there overnight, like there's this American crew, they take it very seriously, especially because they're referred to as the Americans, and they're you know, we right. tell them how hard working they are. They're like, yeah, we get shit done. Rawr! So they sort of get in there and they build this base. So we've now got our inner keep with a wall around that, and now a wall around that. So it's like double walls. It's a huge amount of land that we've enclosed, and there's like, we've had 50 people in the clan, like just spread out all over the place, and we have about 30, 40 people online sometimes. So last night, we got a whole bunch, it was like 20, 25 of us, which is huge. In Rust terms, that's a huge number of people online at once. And we raided this nearby river base. And we'd made C4 and rockets, and I was like, the general, I was like, right, sniper team here, security team there, we need medics, and we need this, and we need a breach team, and we need a C4 team, and a rocket team, and everyone's like, whoa! You know, we did it, we get into the base, and we were so bad at breaking into this base, we wasted all our resources, and then the smarter, more experienced players just started fucking with us. Okay, so even though some of them, I don't think it was their base, one of the things we brought with us was a door and a lock. So when we blew the front door, we could put our own door down, lock it, and then they wouldn't be able to get back in. They'd have to C4 their way back in, but obviously we're in their base where their C4 is probably, so they were like stuck outside. So we go inside, we get building privileges, we put the new door on the front door, we put a lock on it, we lock it, but the guy that locked the door put the code in wrong. So he had to change the code. While he's changing the code, some fucker outside quickly runs up. And as soon as the door's unlocked, he enters a new code and locks us in. So we're now locked in the enemy base with no idea what this code is. And we're on the ramparts, which have not got much cover. And there's guys sniping at us from miles around with bows and arrows. Every time one of us leaves the base, they get killed. So the bad guys are now wearing our gear. So we're confusing them for us. They're killing our guys coming back in. We've run out of pickaxes. They're all broken. Fuck. We have to go back and get more stone and metal and wood, try and bring it back into the base. Our guys are so hyped up. They're shooting all our friendlies as they're bringing supplies into the base. People are losing their minds. So after about 3 hours of this, I'm like, right, that's it. I'm done with Rust. Let's all go home. So we all just leave. Like, we didn't even get any loot from this enemy base. We were there for like 2.5 hours. Didn't get a damn thing out of it. We wasted all our good shit. We just went
home.
Was
it the really big one that was close to your base?
It was like, there was one near the water, right? It was like almost in the water. So it was like, we called it the water base. It was like a big tower. So it was like, we just couldn't believe how bad it was. But now, I mean, it was a valuable learning experience. That was how we pitched it. We went home, we all dropped all our shit off. We all got naked, had a massive fight in the Thunderdome. And I said, if you want to carry on playing before this server wipe, guys, take what you can and flee to the hills. Like, get far, far away from this place. Because those lads, they were Korean guys. All their signs were in Korean. When they get back in, they're going to be pissed and they're going to know it's us. So they're going to come at us hard. So just leave. So that's it. We've abandoned the orcs' nest. We're all just running for the hills.
You scattered to the hills.
That sounds crazy.
What a tale.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So we're going to start again. And this time we're going to have a new, like my friend Monticus, you know Monticus, Lewis. We play Dota with him a lot. He's come up with this scheme for how we can run the orcs' nest more efficiently.
And
it's like going to be this three-tiered command structure with like three-tiered accommodation. So the peasants get like a little shack to live in, and then you've got the trusted orcs who are like the lieutenants, and they have to live in the shack, but they can come into the main keep. And then you've got like the top orcs, the knobs, and we're like in charge, and we have secret codes and all this kind of stuff. So it's completely separate. We don't have to mingle with the peasant class, and it's going to be great fun.
Wow.
Oh my God. When is it starting?
Probably like almost a week today we have to start again. Get everyone logged in. Because when we have like 20 or 30 people all gathering.
So it'll be when this podcast goes out.
Yeah,
basically.
Probably. Yeah, probably that evening we'll probably start again if the wipe happens that on time. Because sometimes it can be a bit slow. But when you log into the Fretch server and there are no buildings anywhere, it's amazing. Like it's just incredible. People just go insane. And you're all just spears and bows. If someone finds a gun, they're like the king of the server.
Wow.
And you build up your castle and you've got to find a good place, and animals are like a real problem. You haven't got any guns, so if there's a bear, you're like, holy shit, we're gonna lose like 8 people to this bear. It's really good. It's really, really
exciting.
It's
a fucking great game, man. Yeah. I've also been playing Rust a lot this week. I joined Pyrian for a bit, checked out the Orc's Nest and stuff. It was very impressive. And then I went off on their server to try to build my own place. I wanted to like build my own house and just go through like the throes of Rust sort of thing. And it was pretty challenging. I got killed a few times. I killed a few naked people. It was pretty fun. And then I switched server completely and went off on my own to try to like, you know, make my own little kingdom or whatever. I recorded that as well, posted a video of it. And apparently like 2 hours later, everybody had seen the video. People went on, found my house, fucking blew it to smithereens, killed me, stole all my shit. And then a bunch of people started trying to rebuild it as a memorial site. So like all night I was getting tweets from people with screenshots of like, hey, you know, we just found your dead ass body and your house is half blown up, but we tried to rebuild it for you and we've put a whole bunch of signs up and everything. So later on I'm gonna play and go check it out and start again from scratch, because man, that game is so unforgiving. It's so hard, but fuck, it's so fun. It's crazy. So it's so much fun, and it's
there are some downsides. The hacking is a problem. And they have recently, they've done things like grass is now much lusher and thicker. It looks beautiful when you're on your own, but when you're in a group of like 20 or 30 people and you're trying to attack a base around big player structures with lots of players and lots of combat, the game lags really badly. So the next thing they need to do is work on the optimization of that, because it's really hard to have those big fights when it's just lagging. Like I mean, I've got a really good machine. Brand new machine is really good, and I still get problems with the lag because it's just underperforming, I think. But
I think it's probably to do with the amount of info that could be transferred via the network. You know, that's always the problem with large groups of people. It's not necessarily the graphical issue of rendering large groups of people. It's the issue of getting all of their network information together and distributing it to 50 people. From 50 people to 50 other people is pretty tricky.
I remember EVE Online fleet battles were just like one frame per second.
I mean, that's what they added that slow-mo thing for now, though, right? So basically, the EVE Online battles now happen in like slow-mo, like over 6 hours or whatever.
I never liked that. Because it's like, it's all right, guys. It's meant to be slow. It's like, what a fucking cop-out. Jeez.
But yeah, no, Rust is great. I've been playing it a lot. I've been playing that a lot this week, and I've been playing Hyper Light Drifter, which I picked up too, which is very fun so far. It's really weird and confusing, but it's like very pixely sort of, I guess it's like a bit like Binding of Isaac in the sense that it's sort of like, I don't know, like... sort of minimalist isometric sort of thing. You have like a bit of health or whatever, and you have to dodge things and, you know, figure out patterns of stuff attacking you or whatever. It's a little bit unforgiving. It can be a bit hard. And you sort of progress through these like areas of this map and get to bosses and collect keys and stuff. It's pretty fun, actually. It's nice. I like it. I would recommend it.
Well, there you go. I've never played it. Sorry, I was just distracted. There's some building work going on outside my window, and it's like,
I was distracted because some wood pigeons.
P-Flax has gone to buy it, and he's playing it right now.
No, some wood pigeons literally have made a nest on my roof, and they keep flying out the window, and then.
So Sip starts talking about this game he's played that neither of us are interested in. So as soon as he said Hyperlight Drifter, we both tuned out. I looked out the window at these guys and got distracted by what their big bag of sand they're
empty. You guys are the worst.
P-Flex starts looking at pigeons.
I'm sorry, Sip.
Thinking about how to pronounce GIF and GIF and all the while, too, so that you can team up on me again.
But they fly right at the window here and then veer up at the last second to land on there.
Well, anyway...
on the roof, and I hear them walking around up there and tootling to each other. I kind of want to see what they're up to with a mirror on a pole.
Just having a little tootaloot to each other. Anyway, Hyperlight Drifter is pretty good. It's pretty fun. It's nice looking, too, if you like pixels and pixel animation and art and stuff. And it's fun. You just go around and chop things with a sword and you get a gun and stuff. Huh. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm going to try and pick up Dark Souls. Oy. People said it's good.
Too hard.
That's officially out this week. It just came out like 2 days ago or whatever.
So by the time this podcast comes out, everyone will be like sick of it.
Speaking
of pretty good, I want to give a shout out, if I may, to a guy called John Boys, B-O-I-S. It's J-O-N-B-O-I-S. I think that's his name on Twitter. He works for SB Nation, which is like a sports network. And he does a series called Pretty Good, which he just takes a thing that he's kind of interested in that's pretty good. Like, he does a thing about the guy... I don't know if you remember this, Sips. It was a guy who decided he was going to go up as high as he could on a lawn chair that he had tied helium balloons onto. Did you hear about this?
Vaguely, yeah.
The Simpsons had a reference to it one time. He basically had...
Yeah, it rings a bell.
It was a regular lawn chair. He had a little packed lunch with him, a camera, and an air pistol to shoot the balloons so that if he got too high, he could shoot the balloons and come back down.
That's right.
And he decided to just go up as high as he could. And he went way higher than he ever would have anticipated. He was like thousands of feet in the air. And he's on a walkie-talkie to his wife on the ground. He's like, holy shit, I'm really high up. He drops the pistol so he can't shoot the balloons. He's just like drifting. They have to ground all these flights and everything. Anyway, he did a video about that. He did one about that Russian guy that like came within a whisker of launching all the Russian nukes.
I think it was the 60s. Stories.
And that's really interesting. And he does ones about
it was because of like
well.
A solar flare or something, wasn't
no,
it?
No, I believe like, what it was something. Because the system that they have involving satellites involved looking along the sort of line of the horizon from a great distance. And if you're looking at that distance, you should see flares like of the rockets being launched silhouetted against the sort of the background, if you like. So the problem was the sun came up and hit these mountains in just such a way that it looked like a launch. It's something like that. But he does these videos. They're about 10 or 14 minutes long. And they're brilliant. They're absolutely brilliant. He's got a load of them. He's got like 7 of them out. And they're tragically underviewed for the amount of effort he puts into them. I definitely want people to watch his stuff. And he did a really funny series called Breaking Madden, where he just destroys the game of John Madden and creates characters that are like insanely overpowered or like ridiculously bad. Or he tries to make this one insane play. It's brilliant. All his stuff is brilliant. And he should be way bigger than he is.
Fuck. Well, there you go. Sorry, did you just say something? Because
it's a redo. Like well done, Sips. Well done.
Yeah,
because
like a family of pelicans just moved into my garage, and I was watching them nest with each other. And oh man, were you talking? Sorry. Yeah. No, that sounds cool. Actually, I'll check it out. I like the sound of Breaking Madden.
It's great. There's a character called Beef Tank where he makes him the smallest, lightest guy he can, but gives him all the biggest physical stats he can, and he just runs through the enemy team. So he makes the opposition team as little and stupid as he can, and sees how good Beef Tank can be. It's like the whole saga of Beef Tank is amazing. So yeah, his series are really good. You'd love it, Sips.
It sounds good. I like that.
You wanted to do a sort of similar thing, didn't you, with Football Manager?
I did do Breaking Football Manager, which was a complete ripoff, and I acknowledged that in the video. But Football Manager is not as... Like, he edits his videos really well. He spends a lot of time on them. And he because it's a bit more graphical and interesting, it was easier to see. So I did a thing where I just made a league where all the teams were amazing at one thing. So one team was all about pace. One team was all about strength. One team was all about finishing, but they all had one in every other stat. But it's much harder to have Football Manager run like that because it automatically beefs up certain stats. So even if you try to set everything to one, it'll set it to 10 and say, oh, you can't have that. Like, it's no player would have 20 strength and one stamina or whatever. So, it you know, you can't do it, unfortunately. But I wish I could because I'd love to try that. But it was interesting, but, it wasn't worth continuing. It wasn't pretty enough the way Madden is.
Man, I have not played a Madden game for so long. Like, I think the last time I played a Madden game was like Madden 95 or something. Like, it was like a long ass time ago. But I apparently now the graphics and stuff are like fucking hyper realistic. Yeah, and they get all incredible. Like that.
Like, yeah, if you get an injury, it does like that Sniper Elite thing where it shows you a close up of their knee, it's like cracking. And so you know it was a knee injury and stuff like that. But yeah, man, I mean, it looks crazy. Incredible.
Oh my God.
The guys like to bounce off each other in just the right way. And it's nice. Very good. But the problem is, like, A, it's a console game. And I don't own a console. Like, I used to have on my PS3, I had Madden and baseball games and stuff. But the other problem is they're way more fun when you play against someone else. And I don't know anyone around here that plays games because I live in like mum and dad central. So my mates live way over in London. They don't play games anyway. None of my neighbors are going to come over and play Madden. So I'm just like playing against a computer is kind of boring.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Like with stuff like that, especially like console games, like couch games where you need to have somebody there to play. Like as you get older, you know, you don't just have people that can come over and play couch games with you anymore, yeah. Sort of thing.
Like I know with FIFA you could play that online against other people, but I didn't dare because I was just terrified of getting completely stomped.
Stomped by a 10-year-old
exactly.
Who's really good
who'd
at
like,
FIFA. Yeah.
Fucking idiot, fucking suck, granddad. And chat. I'd be like, oh, I can't take this. I just can't
I don't
take
like this. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Oh, man. What about you, Lewis? Games? Have you been playing anything recently?
Well, I couldn't really play anything when I was at yours. I only got back on Monday. And so I came in on Monday and I played a bit of Factorio with Duncan, which I'm still loving. Honestly, like that game, if they can add some more mods to it, if they add some more stuff to it, I could just play that game forever.
I'd play it through again. If they add some more stuff to it, maybe some more power options.
I'd play it through again for sure. Yeah. And I think that's just it's really good. We'd finished off our Master of Orion game, which was not great, but I'm looking forward to Stellaris and
yeah,
I'm sure there will be a new
May, right?
Civ game.
Oh, yeah, we should do another Civ game, but Stellaris looks amazing and Hearts of Iron 4 comes out soon. I'm super hyped for both those titles.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that. So
you're
that'll
a
be,
big
really fun.
Fan of the grand strategy stuff, aren't you?
Love it.
Flex, yeah.
What I love dropping a bit of grand strategy. And then Warhammer Total War at some point is coming out too. I love a bit of grand strategy, me. Yeah, if I can play it, that's
Do you ever play any of the hardcore gorgeous. Ones like Crusader Kings and fucking
Do you know what
Victoria
I haven't really
stuff?
Delved into Europa Universalis and Nukes Creation.
They're great games.
They've always been at arm's length from me, I'm afraid. Okay. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Hearthstone expansion. They trickling out these cards week by week. They've been doing it for months now, it feels like. Do you know what? It's such a brilliant way to hype up an expansion, just to release like one card with. They're giving all the pro streamers and stuff cards to release as well.
They didn't give one to Terps. Terps went all the way out there, and they didn't even give him a card to review.
Well, yeah, because he's not really big enough, is he? Unfortunately. No. They basically said, we'll give you one if you promote it on the main channel kind of thing. They're really doing it like hardcore, full-on promotion. Like, you know, these Twitch streamers are supposed to make YouTube videos about it, and they're getting like hundreds of thousands of views because people are interested in... It's really interesting, actually. But yeah, so they released some of the new old gods. So I think all of the old gods have been announced now that are going to be the 10 mana cost massive cards.
God.
And so the latest one was Yogg-Saron, who is basically when you cast him, his battle cry is that he will cast a random spell for every spell that you've cast the game.
Oh my
so maybe
God.
You've cast like maybe you've Jeez. Cast like maybe you're playing like a frost mage, okay? And so you start off and you like frost over them and you fire blast and freeze them all and just keep them controlled, right? Flame strikes and blizzards and all that. You get to 10 mana, you drop your Yogg-Saron and he casts like 10 random spells. Now, the problem is that they're targeted randomly as well, right? So he might cast a free pyroblast and it might hit him, it might hit you, it might hit anyone, right? It might hit a 1/1 imp, you know, who knows, right? And then also a lot of the spells in the game are buffs, right? But they're randomly targeted too. So if you've cast it, because if you're playing a frost mage, the likelihood is you're not going to have anything on your board, but they're likely to have some stuff that you want to get rid of, okay? Especially at 10 mana. And so the problem is that when they look at the maths of this thing, almost every time maybe this will change, okay? Maybe when we actually see it in real life. Because people have made a Yogscaron simulator, okay, to simulate what would happen. Wow. So, you know, I could just press simulate here, and it's like bear trap, okay? Bear trap casts on... You're obviously it's a trap for yourself, but it's not really very good at 10 mana. Next spell, Blessing of Wisdom, cast on an enemy minion. Oh, great, you know. Next spell, Renounce Darkness. That's the warlock spell that discards, that you know, basically turns you into a paladin. No, useless. Mind Vision, great, you get one card. Wisps of the Old Gods, okay, you summon like 7 wisps, great. Do you see what I mean? It's kind of weird, and you end up putting like Blessing of Kings on your opponent's guy, and like sometimes I think like playing Yogg-Saron, unless you've played, first of all, you have to play like 10 spells, which is pretty challenging for most decks to play, because you only get 30 cards, right? If 10 of them are spells, sure, you can like, you know, arcane into, you can get some extra spells from some things, like play a Jewel's Grab and get an extra spell or whatever, but generally I feel like 10 spells is a good number if you're building a deck around Yogg-Saron to get by the time you play.
That sounds crazy.
And man, I just don't think it's very good. So yeah, the other old guilds are quite interesting. I don't know if you've seen those ones. Just like, but they're interesting.
I haven't kept up with it at all. Like, I got really salty with Hearthstone and just.
We were talking about it before
a long ass time.
Before we were recording, actually. Oh, sorry. Let me just shut the window because the guys next door are doing some building work. Hold on.
It's those pigeons. They're trying to saw each
fucking
other.
Pigeons.
I am totally hyped up about it. Actually, I mean, the hype train that Blizzard have been rolling about this expansion has really got to me, and it's really exciting. And I've been kind of following it the whole way. And I'm looking forward to it coming out. I think it will change the game in a good way. I think what they're doing with Standard and Wild is good.
I like that sounds interesting. I'll probably come back and try Standard and Wild.
When it comes out, I'll probably play it for a couple of weeks before I get tired of it again. That's all I need, right? So I need a couple of weeks of WoW, a couple of weeks of this, a couple of weeks of some new, you know, like when Civ 6 comes out, that'll be a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll put a week into Dark Souls, who knows, we'll find out.
I've been playing lots of
Gungeon.
Oh yeah, Into the Gungeon. That's meant to be really hard. We played it a little bit while you were over.
Yeah, we played like a little bit of it. It's kind of like a blend between Binding of Isaac, which I've been playing a lot of and really like, and Nuclear Throne. But I think that Binding of Isaac is just a stronger game these days after it got remade and all the additions to it. I think it feels to me like Binding of Isaac's a stronger game after playing a bit of Enter the Gungeon. I just didn't like it. Nilesy is the real person too, and he's playing it right now actually, so maybe he's got a different opinion on it, and maybe I will pick it up and have a
look. I know
look.
People have been talking about it a lot, but yeah.
What else have you been playing, Sips?
Heroes of the Storm, like, a lot. Ugh. Like, mostly just like in the evenings. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's not like...
It's super casual though. Do you
play
it with
pretty casual,
people on
I just play with goons. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got like a little group that just sort of seems to play regularly in the evening, and then a couple of other people that I know on Battle.net or whatever have a little group. So I usually can get into like a pre-made, and I just stomp around and win and lose, and it's fairly fun. It's not amazing, but it's casual enough, and it's just constant team fighting. Like, there's no sort of, I don't know. It's not like, you don't get that flow like you get in a game of Dota, you know, where like things start off and you sort of jungle, or you get, you know, some gold and items and stuff. Like, they've taken a lot of that stuff out of the game, and all you do is just go around as five and just fucking team fight, which is
my problem with a lot of these games that try to copy Dota is that they don't have the super high sort of late game clutch moments where it's do or die and the game is lost in one simple thing. Like accidentally canceling your TP might cost you the game if you know, in certain instances, or you bought the wrong item, or you know, you die back or something. And that kind of stuff, I really like the fact that the tension and the sort of the scale of drama of Dota in a game, in most games, you know, it's a little back and forth, and then one team wins a couple of big fights in a row and it's over. That's like the average game. You've been ahead the whole time and you just didn't realize it until you start fighting, then you're like, holy shit, we're so far ahead, let's just end, and you win it in like 30 minutes. But when you get these games that go like an hour and 10, and it's been you've just been focused the whole time, and the drama is just ramping up and up and up and up, and it just gets so tense. And I know me and Lewis have had a ton of games like that where it just comes down to like one moment. And I don't think that many other games copy that anywhere near as well. And some of the drama you get in a game of Dota is just crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you like all that kind of stuff, I mean, for me, like committing an hour and 10 minutes to a game, and while it has its ups and downs and everything, and it's pretty enjoyable. Thing I like about Heroes of the Storm is just like 20 minutes is done. Like,
yeah, yeah.
No matter what.
It's, yeah,
you know,
like
a team fight decides like the end of the game pretty much if it's not already just a big stomp and you're done. You just move on. You know, like that's all I have time for in the evenings.
Yeah.
Like I can't really play like an hour and 20 minutes of one game of Dota sort of thing as much as I'd like to. I think if I had more time, I would. But for now, I'll just settle for Heroes of the Storm and its grindy ass grinding out heroes and fucking... I hate that some of the skins, like, you just have to buy. You can't unlock them any other way.
Yeah.
There's just, like, little niggly things like that that kind of annoy me about it. But overall, I think it's pretty fun. You know, the fact that you can just pick it up and play it, especially if you have a couple of people that you know that play it as well.
It's amazing fairly enjoyable, how good Blizzard are at making those kind of games.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough skill in Hearthstone that you can play it professionally, and apparently, you know, that's the nature of Hearthstone, is that there are some guys out there who can play it and understand it at such a level. But it's also a game that I can play, which I played like two games before we started this morning, just goofing around, stupid, and I can still enjoy that. And it's the same with Overwatch. I can just drop in and out of Overwatch. Haven't played it much, honestly. It's fun enough. But again, it's not a game that I get the same satisfaction from. I don't feel that any of them create those moments that you will remember weeks and months later, you know?
That almost has become a bit of a trend for Blizzard now. Like, I feel like overall, anytime I play a Blizzard game now, I leave thinking that was fun enough. But it doesn't blow me away like a Blizzard game used to, sort of thing. You know, like when I started playing WoW and I got really into WoW and playing it like all the time, I was totally blown away by how awesome it was, and I enjoyed it and everything.
I mean, I haven't played it in years, and there are still things that I remember from when, I mean, I played it a lot, like maybe 10 years ago, and it's still really, some of the moments and the things, I can still remember the map and the look of it and the items that I had and big raids that we did and all that. So it's burned into my memory. And I feel like with their other games, there's nothing that's come along that's tried to repeat that. It's almost like they've gone the other way and just making, and I'm not being like dismissive here, but they're almost like the mobile gaming of PC gaming, I think, in a way. And that it's just something you tap away, and yes, it's fun enough, but it's not going to stay with you.
Yeah, it's sad in a way, but I tend to agree. Like, Overwatch, I was really excited for. I thought, fuck, you know, this is it. You know, new IP. You know, they're going to be able to do, like, some crazy stuff with this. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really exciting. And, I got into the beta and stuff, and I played it. And I was just really underwhelmed. Like, you know, I just thought, really, this is it? You know, like, after all that, I just thought, I was expecting the game, maybe my expectations were too high. I thought, you know, fuck, this game is just going to blow me away. And it really didn't. And like, now I'm just a bit bummed out about it. Like, I don't even care when it releases. I haven't pre-ordered it. You know, I'll probably play it, but...
But you know, it's going to be huge.
It's not going to be like one of those things for me, like WoW was, or you know, like when StarCraft 2 came out, fuck, I was so hyped and I loved it so much and everything. Like, I couldn't wait for a new StarCraft to come out and everything. And it was like, I just don't feel like that about Overwatch at all.
Do you suppose that the reason that they've gone... And I mean, it's obviously a very deliberate decision from them. Do you remember they were making that game that was going to be some kind of an MMO thing that was going to be this vast and complicated thing, and then they abandoned it? I can't remember what it was going to be called.
I think it was called Titan, Project Titan or something like that. I think it was meant to be Destiny, from what I understand.
Right.
And elements of Overwatch featured in that as well. So it was going to be this sort of like MMO hybrid sort of shooter game that just ended up becoming Destiny in the end.
Right.
And
they had
a bunch of leftover assets and stuff, and they were like, maybe we should just make this, like, you know, Team Fortress style, you know, shooter game instead.
Do you suppose that the fact that they almost got their fingers burnt on the project of that kind of complexity, like, I don't feel like Blizzard would try to make WoW again now. Certainly that's not the kind of thing that they would make again. They would make something that was kind of like WoW, but way more just fun and goofy, and you can dip in and out of it. And that's, I kind of feel like what I really would love to see from Blizzard is they've got so many different games that already fill that niche, and they're making a fortune from them. I mean, they must be one of the richest games companies in the world, if not the richest.
They've got to be, yeah.
Let's see Blizzard do a game that's got real depth and complexity, and is a real, you know, you can really get your teeth into it, and doesn't just cater to the casual crowd, because Blizzard are big enough now that if they put a game out like that, I think people would fucking love it. I really do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a hard one. I think that they're really into esports, and they want all of their games to become esports, which is, you know, understandable.
I'm not sure actually. I don't think they are.
I think they strive to. I don't think they always get it.
No, I honestly don't think. I mean, when they made Hearthstone, I don't think they were. Their pitch wasn't, this is going to be an eSport. And I mean, Heroes of the Storm is clearly not meant to be a big eSport.
But some companies are actively fighting against their game becoming an eSport.
Yeah.
Like Super Smash Brothers is something which Nintendo actively don't want to become an eSport. And people want it to be. I don't think the games company gets to decide whether their thing becomes a successful eSport or not in these days. I don't know.
I don't know. Heroes of the Storm, I think that they did design it with esports in mind. It doesn't seem like it, maybe, but the fact that they're doing Heroes of the Dorm and all of this stuff on ESPN and everything shows me that, yeah, they're trying to promote it. But I honestly think it's more of an advertising esport.
But I think it's like we can get in on some of that esports.
This is a little bit like just having all the package shit. It's like saying, okay, I made a game, I want to promote it, and then you give it to an agency and they say, okay, we're going to take it out to Twitch streamers and YouTubers, we're going to make billboards, we're going to do everything, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But esports is just one of these other things which they do as part of the release of a game now, and it's kind of done by the community people. They don't care, they don't really think about it. Maybe they'll add a few little spectator modes and stuff in back end to facilitate it, but really they don't care. I think Blizzard games, Overwatch and Heroes of Storm, are pretty clowny now, and they don't take themselves too seriously. Not that they've ever really done, but nowadays even more so. You know, Heroes of the Storm is very loosey-goosey with how, like, you know, you can have like clown costumes and alternate world versions, like good versions and bad versions of famous heroes. It's nice to have that. Blizzard universe is very close to us. Anyway, let's go through the questions that the people have for us before we end this podcast.
All right, I've got them ready.
Glad you have.
Man, I am always super ready. Like, it took me five seconds to do it before we started.
We record the podcasts on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. So Sips tweets out at 10 a.m. on Thursday. If you want to ask questions to us, I guess send them at like 9:55.
I check my Twitter feed regularly. So put them in there and I'll put them in a notepad. All right, first one.
Cheers.
From a person named Merely a Follower. Merely a Follower asks, any plans for guest appearances for the Triforce podcast? Pretty good question. I think we kind of touched on this last week when we said that we were happy just having it us three and our dynamic, and that was the format of the show sort of thing. But
Terps wants to be in it.
Right.
But I guess, like, I don't mind, but I think we got the format locked down. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
If one of us was away for some reason, let's say, then I think having someone in to sort of as a guest would work. But
I think that what would happen is if one of us was away, you know, you could fill in for me with someone else. That would be easy. But if Sips was away, me and you would record some Dota, and if P-Flats is away, me and Sips would record some other stuff for the channel. So I feel like the only chance that someone you want to have a guest in is if I'm going to be away.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we can always work around that.
Consider recording together.
Yeah, we could do. But like,
I'd like to watch that.
I think guest appearances and stuff, it's a weird one, right? Because we have a big network of people that we do content with, that we hang out with and stuff, like Terps or whatever. But, and like, no offense to Terps, I'd like to have him on. But like, if we were going to get an actual guest, I would like it to be someone outside of our network. Somebody yeah, that we don't cool. really know. Somebody who's like maybe like, you know, some big game developer, some big fucking name in something or whatever, you know, like let's fucking get Arteezy on here or so, you know, it's just somebody that is well known in some other circle sort of thing that, yeah. that you know, I don't know much about.
Maybe you know what? A game developer would be great. Like that yeah. would be great because we could really grill them about games design and what's going through. I mean, I'd fucking love that. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Or a so famous like, person, an actor.
Yeah. Like, let's get Tom Cruise on
Tom
here.
Cruise. We'll get Tom Cruise. Fuck.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Do you know what?
Actually, wait. Would you want Tom Cruise on here? Like, would you want to talk to Tom Cruise?
Not necessarily, but honestly, like, it would give us so much fucking exposure. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, but
like,
I don't think he could do Tom Cruise. An hour and a half. I think he could probably give us, like, 5 minutes max. He's yeah. a busy man.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he's like
a Scientologist. I mean, that's a problem for me.
If you're famous and you're listening to this,
yeah,
let us know.
We'll if you want to be on a podcast, that. A really mediocre podcast,
and you're not like a Scientologist, get in touch.
Yeah, and you're not a Scientologist.
I'm
yeah.
not first.
I am. Yeah.
I'm accepting of all.
If you're a woman, especially, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
about
we'd
male
like some female company here on the podcast.
Yeah, if you're Jennifer Lopez, you know.
What a dad moment like, that's to where pull you out go. Of the hat. If you're, say, a woman, Sam yeah. Fox or something like that, get it.
Oh, shit. Fox. Cindy Crawford, circa 1986. Mm. Get at me.
Helena Christensen.
Pamela Anderson. Naomi Campbell.
Pamela.
Marilyn
anyway.
Monroe.
So, yeah, guest appearances. Well, I don't know. Nothing's set in stone, right? I say all this. Terp's probably going to be on the next one, so we'll just see.
Next.
The next question comes from Noji and says, I mean, we've all played WoW. Since the WoW expansion is coming soon, will you be playing it? What are your opinions on the current state of the game? I will definitely be playing it. I'm looking forward to it. Current state of the game, I can't comment on because I played Draenor for like a month and then I haven't played again since. So
no, me neither.
I mean, I generally like how much they cram into an expansion. I kind of like the systems that they keep putting into WoW and the different things that you're able to do. I like now that you can, you know, raid without having to have like a big tryhard raid group. I like looking for raid and all the casual stuff that sort of suits my lack of time to play like these big games or whatever. So yeah, generally still pretty happy with it. I feel like I get good value out of playing an expansion for a month and then moving on with my life sort of thing. Pretty happy with WoW in general. I don't think it's going to be around forever, but as long as it is around and they keep, you know, innovating stuff and adding new shit to it, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yep.
Next.
Okay, next. Max. Yep. A man named Max. Sips. If you're given the chance to, because this is a bit of a long one. If you're given the chance to become immortal, okay, so you can't die. You can't die of old age. There's no aging or anything. You'll never age. With the catch of being sent back 3,000 years in the past, would you do it? I fucking would, to be honest. I think that'd be great. I mean, you can't die, right? So like, I think the first sort of like 2000 years would be a little bit shitty, kind of boring. There wouldn't really be much to do or whatever, but you could like influence like small villages and, you know, just become like the leader and stuff and help them along and stuff. And then once you get to like the medieval ages and stuff, holy shit, you know, you're immortal, you can't age or whatever. You just do what you like, leading into like modern day society and stuff. I don't know.
Do you know what I'd do?
Listen,
do you know what I'd
do? That's a long ass time.
I'd go back 3,000 years and I would start a religion. And since I'm immortal, people would automatically believe. Like, I'm going to assume we're unkillable and uninjurable. We're just this immortal, perfect being that cannot be harmed, right? So I start a religion, and my religion is super, super nice and chill. And it's just literally, no. We're all just going to get along and everything's going to be fine. And there's not going to be wars about it. We're just going to be chill. There's not going to be any schisms because the rules are going to be real simple. Everybody just chill out. Like really, really simple shit. And they're not this complicated stuff that can be misconstrued and twisted. It's nice and simple. And I'm just going to say, hey guys, let's just chill and see where we're at in 3,000 years. And if that doesn't work, I'll go back again and I'll make a new religion that's brutal and awful and see what happens then. And maybe it'll work out.
See, I'm tempted to say that I would want to like just you know, like go off somewhere and not have any influence over anything? Because I think that like if you set up a religion and you were immortal, you don't know what's going to happen in 3,000 years, you know? Like what if they like never bother getting around to creating Dota, PFLAX, because they're too busy worshipping you?
I'll be like, that'll be one of the early tenets is, right, guys, in about 3,000 years, we're going to have a game called Warcraft 3 and we're going to need to mod that and create those. I mean, you know, you're not gonna influence the world too much, but I think that could be a healthy way you could influence it.
Arrange these sticks into a lane pattern and you pretend that all of these little rocks are heroes that can level up to... Yeah, you can teach cavemen how to do it, and then that'll just go through the ages until finally it's developed. I don't know. It's a tricky one, but
I think you have to worry because first of all, one man can't influence very much. My feeling on this is that if you got sent back 3,000 years, you're likely gonna be, you know, what happens is you're only one man. You know, there's gonna be wars, there's gonna be fights. You're gonna be, even if you're a charge or the leader, or they find they can't kill you. As soon as they find they can't kill you, whoever's in charge is gonna lock you up in a cage. And lock, you know, throw away the key. Imagine you got buried like underground, right?
Oh,
and then
my
they
God.
Forgot
wow,
about
that
you.
Would
and
suck.
And you were stuck down there for 2,000 years.
You think you'd somehow manage to get out, though? Like, not even Kill Bill style, but like, you'd have all the time in the world because you couldn't die. So you'd just slowly dig your way out, I guess?
I think you wouldn't. I think you'd go insane. I think you would. I think you would literally go. It's because you know what it's like for people who are trapped on their own in a,
that'd
in
be
a cage
fresh
for a long
hell,
time.
Yeah.
They go completely fucking mental. You would lose your mind. I think it would be horrible. I think that what you'd have to do is you'd have to be very careful. So I'd probably work like... I'd probably use my knowledge, right, to get some sort of high-level position, like a wizard or something, right, early on, okay? Because I know some stuff about chemistry and basic things. You know a little bit about history too, so maybe you'd be like an oracle, okay? And I'd use that power to establish my own... like island nation, okay? Like maybe in like somewhere hot.
We'll
somewhere
call
nice,
it
okay?
America. Yeah. You'd know it was there.
No, it could be like, I don't know, Malta or somewhere like that. Some island where I'm like in charge. I'm the king. I've got my own private army. That you know. But basically, though, the longer you live, the more you have time to make these smart investments in what's popular and sell stuff, sell inventions to the world. You know, basically. Yeah. Basic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't mess up the world too much. And so I'd be like the monarch.
You just want to be the only immortal person
island.
To ever go to the gadget show, don't you?
I would be super, like, secure.
This sounds a bit like the man who fell to Earth, because he does that. Like, he comes from Mars, he comes to Earth, and he patents a bunch of inventions that make him a load of money, because obviously he's coming from a slightly more advanced society. So it's like an early version, because obviously it's written probably, I think it was written in the 60s. So that he had like a Polaroid camera sort of thing. So you could instantly develop pictures that you'd taken. And this was like a big gadget. And I think some batteries he came up with as well. So it was stuff like that. So he changed things subtly, but he wasn't changing the past. He was in that present. Yeah. And that's the problem, I think.
I think I'd have to be quite smart about how I set it up. Like I wouldn't be the king and monarch. I'd be like one of the members of like a council or like a cabal.
Yeah, like worm tongue. You'd want to be like the influencing.
And obviously what happened was the members of the cabal would slowly like get knocked out, but they'd all be anonymous, right? So it'd be like white robe, red robe, blue robe, whatever. And I'd always be like one of the mysterious robes. And then
you've thought about this a lot
more
than us, I think.
I can rotate them in. Yeah.
Right. How does immortality work in the sense that like if I was immortal and I jumped into a volcano, like what would happen? Would I lose all my skin?
Now. Good luck.
I know, but like, so like, what's the deal though? Like, do I lose? Like, can my skin?
I guess you
burn
just sink
stuff,
slowly or? Into the volcano down to the center of the earth, where you suffer in burning torment for a fresh hell.
Yeah,
for
we need
eternity.
Lots of rules. That's the problem with immortality.
Can you feel pain when you're immortal?
Exactly.
And stuff? Like,
what's the deal here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course
know.
You would. Like, if you don't feel pain, how can you feel pleasure, Sibs? Anyway.
I have one more. It's not a question, though.
All right.
I just thought I'd change things up a bit this week. This is from Mia. It's actually just a nice compliment for us to end on a positive, because we talked a lot about death and weird shit this time. So Mia says, thank you for the gold that is your Triforce. They make the walk to uni the best part of my day.
See, I knew people would use it as walking sort of you know, like a thing they listen to when they're walking or commuting.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you very much.
That's a really nice one. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you, Mia. And thank you, everyone else who has listened to and supported the Trifles podcast. Thank you to Sips. Thank you to Pyrian Flax.
My pleasure.
Wife. And forget for sorting the shopping out. And thank you, of course, to me.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis.
And you're Angus. Nice. That's good.
We'll see you all next week for some more of this bum fluff. All right.
Bye.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.